Thank you very much. You may be seated. Again, we're talking about the priorities a church should have. Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so he is in the process of building his church. In the Old Testament, there's many prophecies, many comments, many verses, passages that had to do with the earthly kingdom that God had promised to the Jews. Ultimately, we realize that that kingdom would be postponed until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the invisible kingdom of God would remain on the earth in the body of Christ, which is the church, you and I. We represent the body of Christ. And it's again populated by the sons of God, according to John chapter 1, verse 12, and ruled over by the Son of God. So we, as we gather together, we are collectively the body of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is within us, and our personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us at that moment that we trust Christ as Savior. So we're collectively the body of Christ, and the mystery form of the kingdom will continue to exist in the present form only until the rapture of the church, when God removes the church from this earth and Jesus Christ comes back to get us, and then ultimately he comes back to rule and reign. So say this, when the world sees the church functioning as it should, and when the world sees the church doing what it should, it's the surest sign of the reality and presence of God. Not our beautiful buildings, not our beautiful and great programs and activities. It's when God's church performs or acts or functions like it should, doing what it should. So an outsider, an unbeliever, comes into a service of worship. Coming into a service of worship may not begin to understand the hymns like we just sang, or the prayers that we pray, or the sermon that we preach. But if that church is functioning as it should, and the Spirit of God is actively working, and the Spirit of God is present, and he is permeating the service, then its impact will be immediate and will be powerful upon those who do not know Jesus Christ. The world today is suffocated with words, but it sees little of the reality of the body of Jesus Christ functioning today. That's why I've brought this series of messages on the church. The principles, we talked about those that a church is built upon, and then the priorities. We've given you 12 priorities. We will give the final four today. And let me share these with you. First of all, the first priority we look at today is the priority of flexibility. Flexibility is so very necessary for the church, certainly in the culture you and I live in. There's a hindrance that is caused by routine if we are not careful. And that's the observance of tradition. Jesus was attacked and criticized by the Pharisees one day because they saw the Jesus' disciples coming to meals and not going through the ceremonial hand cleansing. And they said, well, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? And Jesus said, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? You and I need the ability to change. Some churches have so many traditions, so many rules that they cannot obey the Word of God. Because if the Word of God goes against their tradition, they ignore it. And what was happening with these Pharisees was that their traditions, the things that they did, how they looked and saw things, became much more important to them than the Word of God. It's like somebody once said, the seven last words of the church are, we've never done it that way before, right? And we get so tied into how we've always done things that it's difficult for us to change. But we cannot be so obsessed with tradition, ladies and gentlemen, that we fail to follow God's commands. Now, there's an objection. Tradition is great in so many ways, but there can also be an objection to tradition. You see, if things are going right, it should be difficult to keep a current organization chart. Things in God's church should be constantly changing. Not the message, not what we preach, not the principles, but how we operate. Things that we do should be constantly changing. Because if the church is functioning properly, people are going to be constantly learning. People are going to be constantly growing. And when that happens, this helps us avoid falling into routines that keep us from the reality of God's word. So easy when we do things over and over and over again, we learn them by rote and we just do them without thinking. We do them without really our heart attitude proper. We just do them because we're so used to it. That's the danger of routine. That's the danger of tradition. And some of us have an obsession with tradition. We are creatures of habit, no doubt. And bad habits are hard to break. And people are very resistant to change. As I have said before, and to say it again, going forward as this church moves forward, it must change. You've already had changes. You've had a long time revered pastor retire, so you've had changes, but there are many more changes ahead. You cannot keep doing the same things and expect different results. That's, as a person said, that's insanity. So as we go forward, as we look at what God wants this church to do, we've got to be open and willing to change. God's a creative God. He doesn't always do things the same way. He does things in a multitude of different ways. Change is sometimes needed so we don't get confused between routine and reality. Why do we do what we do? Why are we involved like we're involved? And so change must be thought through. Why we're doing what we're doing. We need to be flexible because we must depend upon God. It's not our rules. It's not our traditions. It's our personal relationship with God Almighty. He will sometimes, as I said, he will sometimes do the same thing in different ways. Because God is a creative God. God realizes the sanctity is not on the method, but it's the principle. It's the priority. People come with different giftedness, different perspectives. We have different ways of doing the same thing. Often people refuse to change their ways. And because of that, they let the tradition of men, they let the methodologies, they let the way we've always done things stand in the way of the commands of God. We cannot allow that to happen. There's a harmony that comes by resilience in a church. I think the church is, you're in a great test right now. What are we going to do moving forward? What will this church do? I think God has some wonderful plans for this church. I think he wants to do something great. I think he wants to do something in this community. This community ought to be better. Any community ought to be better when God's church is in its midst. There ought to be an impact. They ought to know that something different is happening. We're not like other social organizations, and we're not doing what other organizations, we're doing what God wants to be done. So there's a harmony that comes by resilience in a church, but also in a Christian. You look back at Paul's life in Acts chapter 16. Paul was in Asia Minor and on his missionary trip, and he wanted to go back to churches where he was at, wanted to do what he had done before. And he was planning his trip, going on the way, and then God spoke to him through the Holy Spirit. He said, no, I don't want you to go there. So God put the sign up. So he said, I'll go over here. No, I don't want you to go there either. Finally, God told him through the Spirit, I want you to go to Macedonia. There's a great door open. There's a great need. Paul obeyed. He went into Macedonia. The gospel had never gone there before, and that was the opening of the gospel to Europe. That's why you and I, through the many, many years and generations, we have had the gospel open up here to America, because Paul was willing to do something different. He wasn't going to do things the way they'd always been done. He was going to listen to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And that's what every one of us need to do as we go forward. So flexibility is so very, very important. Secondly, it's growth. Growth. There needs to be a passion for growth. We cannot be satisfied with the status quo. We cannot be satisfied the way we are today. It's important for us to have within us the desire to grow spiritually, to know God better. 1 Peter 2:2, Peter said, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation or grow up spiritually. Every one of us needs to have a desire to grow in our relationship with God. And we grow by the Word of God. Now, we grow at different capacities. Every one of us have different capacities. And we've got different abilities, but we should grow. Somehow, some way, as we yield our lives to God, God wants us to grow. So there needs to be a passion for growth in our walk with God. We should not be satisfied with the way things are. We should want to move forward. Now, what's this process of growth? Well, we grow in the knowledge of our Savior. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lisa read a passage there in 1 John about different levels of people, fathers, young men, children. It's like we have in any group, there are different levels of spiritual maturity. And so as we come to church, we shouldn't just learn Bible stories. It's not just all about learning Bible doctrine. It's learning to know God, to have a personal, passionate walk with Him, to know Him as He really is, to love Him as He really is, to want to walk with Him and talk with Him. See, the more you know God, the more enriching your fellowship with Him will be, and the more useful in His mission you will become. That's why every church ought to have a systematic discipleship ministry, where people are taught the Word of God, they're taught the principles, they're taught the major doctrines, so that they can grow thereby, so they can get not just to know facts in the Bible, but to know God through the teaching of the Word of God. A mentorship program where those who are more mature in the faith can come alongside those who do not know and try to teach them the Word of God. That's what Jesus was saying in all the Gospels, the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Baptize them into the church. Teach them to observe or obey the Word of God. Do you have a hunger this morning to know God? The psalmist said in Psalm 42, the deer pants for the water brook. As he pants for the water brook, so my heart pants and longs for the living God. The psalmist longed to know God. He wasn't satisfied just walking through life, just meandering through life. He wanted to know God. Do you have a passion for God this morning? Do you want to know Him? Listen to what Job said. Job 23:12. I have not departed from the commands of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread. Job said, the Word of God is more important to me than physical food. Jesus said, and repeated from Deuteronomy, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the Word of God. And God wants His people to grow. They grow thereby in the Word of God, and that ought to be a passion for every one of us. Thirdly, faithfulness. Faithfulness is an enduring quality. Many in our culture and in our Christian culture are what I would call spiritual sprinters. They think the Christian life is a 100-yard dash. But God's not looking for 100-yard dash people. He's looking for marathon runners. He's looking for people that will look at the long view and will hang in it all the way. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it's required that those who have been given a trust, those who are stewards, that they must prove faithful. God doesn't expect you to have great abilities or to do this or do that if he's not giving you that ability. What he has required, though, is that every one of us can be found faithful. All of us can be faithful. I can't sing like these wonderful singers over here. You don't want to hear me sing, but I don't have their gift, but I can be faithful in what I'm doing. You can be faithful. We can all be faithful. You see, ministry is not based on emotion. It's not based upon feeling, but it's based upon character, based, founded in the Word of God. We need to have an enduring commitment. So let us finish what he has given us to do. That's what Paul was talking about as he came to the end of his life. He speaks to this young preacher, Timothy. He's turning the ministry over to him. And he says, the time for my departure, the time for my life to end is here. Paul says, I'm about to die. And as he evaluated and examined, he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. So it's an enduring quality. But I have found also it's a very elusive quality, faithfulness. It's sad to see older Christians become indifferent as they get older and older, when they become indifferent to their commitment to God. Many of them become bitter. Many people become self-centered. How beautiful it is to see people grow old and continue in a life of faithful service. So wonderful to see Christians who have been serving the Lord for years and years and years. They're still serving the Lord with a joy in their hearts. And yet, we live in a day and time when many people only come to church if it's convenient, if it's they have nothing else more important to do. But it's sad when people are distracted by other things and they do not keep their priorities right. This priority of faithfulness. Faithful people make a priority of worship and service and prayer and the things of God. Three things. One last thing this morning is the priority of hope. Hope. And we live in a world today that's so much hopelessness out there that the philosophy, the humanism, all that the world has to offer, you cannot get your perspective from there. We must rejoice with an eternal perspective. Hope has to do, it's an assurance, but hope has to do with security for the future. When you putting all your hopes and your dreams in a future that God has laid out, then you can rejoice in hope. We can look forward to what is ahead in life or death. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 12:12. He said, be joyful in hope. If anybody has hope today, it's believers in Jesus Christ. People who don't know the Lord, what kind of hope do they have? Paul says, rejoice in hope. He said in Romans 8:23, we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? So we rejoice in an eternal perspective. One day all this will be over. God will come and make everything right. God will give us what he has promised. One day we'll spend eternity with Jesus. So we have to refrain from an earthly perspective. We should not be too obsessed with earthly things. Listen to what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He doesn't say where your heart is, there will your treasure be. He says where your treasure is. The things you and I value, that's where our heart gravitates to. Where's your heart this morning? I challenge you to live in a spirit of hope. Be committed to spending your life investing in eternal treasures. So how we need to inculcate these priorities into our own lifestyle. Because when we build a church, understand the right principles, and we learn the right priorities, it'll allow us to respond correctly to the church's practice. That's what we'll talk about next week. What are we supposed to be practicing? What's the church supposed to be doing? Some things that God plainly tells us. So bow your heads with me just for a moment and just consider what we've talked about. First of all, flexibility. Are you willing to make changes that God wants to change in you and this church? Are you flexible? Are you passionate for growth this morning? Do you want to grow in your walk with Him? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to what God has called you to do? And is your hope in Him? God, help us. Lord, help us this morning to make these priorities our priorities, and may they be in our lives with great fruitfulness. In Jesus' name.